There's a tradition that I really like in Buddhism, that before a person starts to speak, that we give thanks and credit to where credit is due. This talk tonight is primarily going to be on a very central teaching of the Buddha's called the Anapanasati Sutra. And so my source material would be the very early recorders of the Buddha's words, and so we give thanks to them, for the Buddha for having spoken them. And then also to some of the modern teachers of the Anapanasati, and those include Buddhadasa Bhikkhu and Larry Rosenberg and Thich Nhat Hanh. So I've drawn on those sources tonight. And thanks to the Jungian Institute for inviting me to come and talk about mindfulness tonight. I'm grateful for that. And many thanks to my friends and family at the Sarasota Mindfulness Institute, who have really been a wonderful community for me, and I hope that I've been a good part of their community as well in offering support to each other in our journey in meditation and mindfulness practice. And I would certainly invite any of you to join us at any time. We meditate, I think, still twice a week or three. Are we doing Monday nights still? Okay. So we have a silent meditation on Monday nights, and we lead meditation on Wednesday nights and Friday afternoons. So, and we just ask for what's called dana, which is a donation out of gratitude. So there's no fee, and if you can't afford to do that, we ask that you not, because we aren't trying to create more stress. So we're trying to create more peace in our own lives and in yours. So, okay. Now, we are a group of intellectuals. That's what I always hear about people in the Jungian Institute, is you're just all intellectuals. And as intellectuals, what we've learned to do is to take notes. So I'm going to invite you tonight to not take any. You can. I'm not going to say don't. But let me tell you why I'm going to invite you to not take notes. There's three good reasons. The two are not as good as the third. The first good reason is this is being recorded, so I guess you can hear it sometime again. I would guess that's why it gets recorded. I don't know what they're doing with the recording, but it goes on the website, so you can hear it again. The second good reason is that, and this is the other thing I didn't say when I was giving thanks to my teachers, and I should give specific thanks to my two teachers, Matthew Daniel and Larry Rosenberg. The other thing that we hope to do when we're talking about anything that is even remotely attached to Dharma, and I suspect you feel this way about any sort of faith or spirituality you believe in, is that we want to deliver the message skillfully. And so if I don't deliver this message skillfully, it's nobody's fault but my own. And if I do deliver it skillfully, there's an awful lot of people who have contributed to that, and I want to make sure that I'm very clear about that. So, okay. It seems like I was on a direction that I forgot.
Talking about note-taking.
Oh, note-taking. Thank you. So the third reason, then, is that because we have developed such a kind of worship of the sacredness of the intellect in our society, we forget that there's other ways of knowing. And in fact, what we know from Buddhist teachings across a couple of millennia is that knowing in this situation has very little to do with thinking or that ability to analyze or interpret. And so I invite you to just be present in every way you can be present tonight, in your breath and your body, in noticing what comes up as thinking and analysis, and knowing that that's wonderful, that we have that capacity to think and to analyze, but also noting when the thinking and analysis becomes a barrier to being present in what's going on in that moment. And so by doing it differently than what we're sort of used to doing, it gives us a chance to not only participate in what's going on here, but to participate internally in how we bring in and digest and how we be with information, either new or that we're reviewing. So, that said, take notes if you want. At the end, I'll also be happy to, I actually did a handout that I neglected to photocopy, and I would not have made enough copies anyway, so I'll be sending an email to Majida with the information on the handout, which will include the source material for this talk, so you won't be left out in the cold, okay? So what I've been asked to do is to talk some about Western secular mindfulness, kind of where it came from, how we got to here, how it's being used, how it might be useful to you, some practices with it, so we'll do a few practices tonight like we just did, and some of the effects of mindfulness. So let me start with a couple of definitions of mindfulness. The person in this country who has probably done the most to both develop mindfulness as a Western practice and to spread it is Jon Kabat-Zinn. And so it's really helpful to use his definition of mindfulness. And his definition goes, now there's a number of different ones that have been published by him, so I'm just going to put them together in a way that makes sense. It's paying attention on purpose in the present moment without judgment to the unfolding of experience moment by moment. So let's unpack that a little bit. Paying attention means making direct contact with whatever sensation or thought is arising in the moment. That's attention. Attention is direct contact with sense objects. Let me give you another couple disclaimers. This is not a talk on Buddhism, but since secular Western mindfulness was derived from Buddhism and very specifically from this one teaching, the Anapanasati Sutra, it made sense to me to go ahead and go through the sutra tonight in a way that I would hope would make your meditation practice or your journey of living life maybe more interesting and deeper. Paying attention on purpose. So if suddenly the rafter starts to fall on me, I'm going to pay attention, right? As will you, I think. Were we doing it on purpose? No. So at that moment, we're being quite mindful. But we haven't had the intention of bringing mindfulness to the rafter. You know, it's funny, when I give talks, things always happen. So if I talk about rafters, they start to move. Hopefully it won't fall. I gave a talk at the hospital. Roxanne may remember this. I gave a talk at the hospital probably 2009, so probably about six or seven years ago. And I was standing up, it's Waldemere Auditorium, and there's a whole bunch of people there, and they're getting six CEUs for the day, and I'm talking about mindfulness, but also about sort of the brain science and relationships. And I gave an example of mirror imaging, which is that I look at you in a certain way, and you look back at me in the same way, and we know we're making contact with each other. And I said, you know, if I'm standing up here and my zipper's unzipped, and you're all kind of looking at my zipper and I'm not paying attention to it, I'm not having very good mirror resonance there. I'm not paying much attention. Well, sure enough, at lunch, my zipper broke. So then I got to get back in front of the group with a zipper that's, you know, stapled, safety pinned together. So let's not talk about rafters falling because I'm a little superstitious. Okay, so that's on purpose in the present moment. So we want to make a moment by moment by moment contact with what's arising without judgment. That's kind of an interesting one for us because we think of judgment always being about, right, you know, you're wrong, I'm right, your opinion's wrong. This really is about making distinctions that have more or less or better or worse to them. So it could be something like that dress is too blue, right? It's not just blue, but it's too blue. Like that becomes something that can be a barrier to seeing something exactly the way it is. We're adding something to it. And to the unfolding of experience moment by moment. And we'll be working with that some in our meditations tonight. The more classical definition out of Buddhism, and when I'm talking about Buddhism tonight, I'm talking about the Theravadin school of Buddhism, what we call the insight school, or which Vipassana meditation arises from. And the more classical definition is that mindfulness has two parts. And the first part is that we decide on something to be focused on. And then our mind wanders, and somehow we remember to be focused on that thing again. So the classical definition is both focusing and then coming back when the focus has been interrupted. And so we have focus, some steadiness, maybe some absorption, and now, oh my gosh, I forgot to pay my taxes, what am I going to do? Have I called my accountant? And now I'm off somewhere, right? And then by some miracle, nobody knows where this comes from. Some part of our awareness says, Betsy, you were supposed to be meditating right now, not thinking about your taxes. Take a breath, go back to your breath. And so we go back to the breath, and for as long as we can, we sustain interest in that thing. And then it all goes to hell in a handbasket again until we go, oh yeah, right, that's what I'm doing. So that's a typical meditation, like we're there, we're off, we're there, we're off. We're off, we're off, we're off, we're there. So, okay.